by a Christian nonprofit, employers to the law's mandate providing female workers health insurance that includes birth control coverage. Justices have kicked the case back to the lower courts for further work. The search has been suspended for a missing cruise ship passenger. USA's Anthony Lucero has details.
The U.S. Coast Guard search and rescue coordinators are suspending the search in the Gulf of Mexico for a missing cruise ship passenger. Samantha Broberg was reported missing from the Carnival Liberty on Friday as the ship was about 200 miles southeast of Galveston, Texas. The ship reported that video showed the 33-year-old woman falling overboard from the 10th deck around 2 a.m. The Coast Guard's 8th District Command Center coordinated 20 hours of searching and covering an area of more than 4,300 square miles. I'm Anthony Lucero.
University of Arizona researchers are trying to find out if bacteria could help prevent asthma. Their study will enroll more than 1,000 babies ages 6 months to 18 months who are at high risk for asthma. They'll give them some of a bacterial extract over a 2-year period and some none, and then compare the results. Research has shown that exposure to environmental bacteria in children under the age of 6 can strengthen immune systems and lower the risk of asthma. This is USA Radio News.
The weather this afternoon is mostly sunny with a high near 64. It'll be breezy with the west winds around 20 miles per hour. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 42. Southwest winds 7 to 10 miles an hour. Tuesday, there's a chance of showers after 9 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 64. The chance of precipitation is 50%. Tuesday night, chance of showers. Be cloudy with a low around 46. Southwest winds 5 to 8 miles an hour, becoming north after midnight, and a chance of precipitation is 50%. Wednesday, chance of showers, mostly cloudy. Precipitation chance is 40%. Wednesday night, chance of showers before 9 o'clock. Partly cloudy with a low around 46, and a chance of precipitation is around 30%.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is NAMI's hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And in New Jersey, there is a NAMI chapter in every county in the state of New Jersey. And there's a NAMI in every state in the union and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no paid staff. We have no office. We work out of our houses. And we try to help people and families who either the person has a mental health issue or is a family that has someone in their family with a mental health issue. And we do this in various ways. One of the ways we do it is by teaching a 12-week family-to-family class for family members who either know someone who has a mental illness or has someone in their family or next-door neighbor or somebody they work with. And all the material that's supplied is free. There is no charge. We run support groups for folks who have someone in that they know or that's in their family has a mental illness. In this day and age, with the economy the way it is, a lot of times both parents have to work. And unfortunately, a lot of times they don't get home till 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. So the teachers spend more time with the children than a lot of times outside of the weekends than the parents do. And we have a program called Educating the Educators which helps teachers spot changes in a child that they may want to, you know, let the parents know about because they see it more so than the parents might. And everything that we do is free. There is no charge. If you'd like to get a hold of NAMI in Hunterdon County, it's 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. Today, we are very fortunate to have with us Ronnie Todd Marino, who is a social services director for Fisherman's Mark, which happens to be located in Lambertville, New Jersey. 37 South Main Street?
Yes, it is.
All right. I want to make sure I had the right number down there. And we're going to get into what Fisherman's Mark is, the history, and what it does, and who it helps, and all that. But I have to ask, because I always ask people this when they come on the show, how did you get into this type of work? You're a social services person. Mm-hmm. Is it something that you've always wanted to do? Is it something that you needed a job and it happened to come up? Because some people have told me that. Yeah, I had two kids and a mortgage. I needed a job, you know. So that would have been my thing. Only I had four kids, a mortgage, and car payments, you know. Yeah. So and this job came up and I took it, you know. Wound up staying there for a good many years, mm-hmm. but, you know. Mm-hmm. But seriously, how did you get involved in social work? And
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've always had a passion for helping others, and it started probably when I was a child. I was always the kid that somebody would come to if there was a problem, and I would try to help them. And I also seem to have that kind of face where I meet a stranger and they'll start telling me their life story. So I figured, you know, I might as well get paid to do this.
Paid to listen to these life stories, right?
Yeah. And I just, it's a personal mission of mine, always has been, to support people who are in their most vulnerable state. So I've mm-hmm. worked in a lot of different ways doing that, working with kids that were in the foster system, mm-hmm. working with older adults, you know, in a facility that went all the way up to hospice. So I have a licensed professional counseling certification. Right. And actually, my history with Fisherman's Mark starts very early in my career when I was getting my master's in counseling from the College of New Jersey. I did my internship there with BJ Petty. So I instantly got that community mental health and got Fisherman's Mark into my blood, you know. So mm-hmm. so we very often joke around that once you're at Fisherman's Mark, you can't help but be connected to it for the rest of your life. You
can't leave.
And so I'm a prime example of that. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Would you explain a little bit about what Fisherman's Mark is?
Sure.
How it started, who it helps, and the mission?
Well, Fisherman's Mark, as you said, is in Lambertville, but we serve really anybody. You know, it serves typically the six surrounding counties, but our tagline is help when help is needed, because really we're there for anyone in crisis. The organization itself has been around for over 36 years.
Oh. And I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And it was very much the name. People ask us a lot about the name. So the name is kind of an indication of what our basic philosophy is. It's based on that old adage that says, if you give a man a fish, he eats for a day. If you teach a man a fish, he eats for a lifetime. So we're still very much about helping people to meet their basic needs, but teaching them how to meet them on their own so mm-hmm. that they can become more self-sufficient, helping to build their confidence, helping to build their skills as we're working together, you know, on a plan that can move them out of crisis and avoid future crisis.
Right.
And so our programs are very comprehensive, but really with that intent, that empowering.
Well, who started Fisherman's Mark?
So it started initially out of St. Andrew's Church.
Oh, okay.
And B.J. Petty, who I did my internship with, was a part of founding that, as was Father Townley, who was a part of from St. Andrew's. St. Andrew's and Fisherman's Mark are now separate entities, but that was a part of the history. And actually, it was founded, my understanding, because the history is, you know, it's very interesting, was that it was a vocational program. It was doing offset printing that was a part of developing like church bulletins and things like that.
Okay.
So they did some vocational training that was a part of it, but these were people who might have been out of work, and so it was helping link them with services at the same time. So it evolved. And our programs have continued to evolve, but like, you know, they needed childcare, so they added a childcare component to it. So, you know, that was the initial history, but we've evolved into 7 programs, all very okay. much meant to meet all of the needs of an individual. So, okay. Yeah.
It's how, okay. So someone, how does someone, become a part of the program? I mean, mm-hmm. are they recommended by hospitals or, social workers, other social workers, or psychiatrists, or how is that
all? Those are definitely avenues. We are not insurance based though, so it's not like there has to be a referral like in some mm-hmm. models. So it can be word of mouth. It's it could be through the show that somebody's learning that we're there to help them. So our clients really come from a wide variety of places. Sometimes it's professionals referring. Sometimes it's just, again, that word of mouth, or the school system might say, you know what, they might be able to help you with this. Definitely where you have great relationships with local doctor's offices, because sometimes people are given a treatment plan from their doctor and they don't necessarily know how they're going to put it in place. They don't have insurance. They might not have prescription coverage. Right. So if they're having difficulty with that kind of paperwork, we can help them with that.
And what the price of some of the prescriptions.
That's true. And then we can also help them if we need to find, either discount programs for them, applying right. for the charity assistance right. through pharmaceutical. So it's a lot of different, every single one of our clients has a unique and individualized plan, but sometimes we have to become creative and, right. and look at right. some things, everything we can.
But you get them through various sources then?
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily
sources.
Just be one.
No. It's not just one referral base. That's a part of why it's so important for us to get out into the community to let them know, and so our programs, I said, it's really open to anyone. That's unique to a lot mm-hmm. of organizations. Sometimes, they're grant funded
right.
and their grants will only cover one aspect of
right.
mental health or domestic violence or prenatal care. It mm-hmm. might just be one thing. We are comprehensive, by design. In a lot of ways, Lambertville is pretty cut off. So a lot of the community that we support don't have access to other resources. So we, want to meet every need that can come to the door. And so it's really, we don't turn people away. We don't have an income criteria for receiving help from us.
Okay.
Obviously, there's certain programs like a food pantry program that has, state and federal regulations on it that we have to look at income. But if somebody comes to us in crisis, they have just had a fire, but they make 6 figures, or they make 6 figures and they're experiencing domestic violence, we're still going to help them. Mm-hmm. So we're not just about helping low income individuals. That's the base of our clients. But we also help people who might be struggling with say like their elderly mother is struggling with her ability right. to stay in the home, and all that process of finding a good fit for an assisted living or for a nursing home and how to go about that process. So we're there to help guide people through that too. So it's really, we're there as a guidepost and a support for anyone who might be experiencing a crisis.
Do you help people find housing?
Yes, we do. Yeah. Housing is typically one of the biggest issues that we help people with. Now, that's also one of the hardest things that we help yeah, people with, because
definitely.
Affordable housing is very lacking in this community.
You noticed that.
Yeah. Well, I'm also a part of some of the countywide yeah. coalitions that are really focused on that and trying to identify what are we going to do for these extreme low-income individuals where, the cost of housing is just completely out of their limits. And even if they did have the money, there aren't apartments available for them. Right. So there's a real gap in housing.
Don't get me started on the system, because we could be here for 4 hours.
Right.
But my son mm-hmm. has a mental health issue. And last year in April, he got a job at BJ's, and he's been there for a year now. He celebrated his 1 year anniversary,
wonderful.
So to speak. I don't know if you've ever been to BJ's, mm-hmm. but they have little places around where they, would you like to try this water? It's only, so much bottle or whatever.
Right.
Well, that's what he does.
Uh-huh.
And the job helped him immensely, because he used to be introverted. Mm-hmm. Now you can't be introverted and do this job, because you got to talk to strangers and try
right.
and get them to buy candy or whatever you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
So he works 3, sometimes 4 days a week, 6 hours when he works, no more than 6 hours, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Now, everything we do, all society and everything, wants people like my son and other and a whole bunch of others to get back into the workforce, to get out and to live a life again, you know, rather than, you know, the on subsistence and all this. Mm-hmm. So what did he do? They raised his rent $200 now that he got a job. He was better off if he didn't get the job, you know?
That's yeah.
And that's so sad because some people look at it that way. I'm better off if I don't work.
Right, yeah.
No, you're not. And technically, you know, you're not. But yeah. In their mind, yeah, they are. Why would I want to pay $200 more in rent?
Right.
And it's like, just want to scream,
it's an,
you know?
Unfortunately, very common experience.
It
and,
is.
And it's that whole, like, it's that balance. And yes, people become frustrated because they're like, there's another barrier for me to have to figure out how to get around in order
right.
to actually work.
Right.
You know, to come back off of assistance. We call that, like, you know, that's that transition period. And a lot of what we're doing very often is encouraging people that in your long-term interests, work makes more sense.
Right.
You know, like, so what are the things that we can do to be careful as you're transitioning? We're anticipating, okay, you're going to be working. That's what this is going to mean. I don't want you to be surprised when you receive this increase in your rent.
Right. You know, that's
yeah, it's
a
big part of
what we do.
But like I said,
this is
what
society wants the people to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turn around and they throw a horseshoe in the middle of it, you
right.
know?
Right. But that's what we're there for. We're there to help either dodge that horseshoe or, you know, let's figure out a way around it. I mean, that's exactly what we're there to do.
Right.
We're there to say, okay, you may have a really hard time. Like you come to me and you say, I can't pay my bills. And you say, there's nowhere the money's coming out of the sky. Like you
right.
can't help me figure out a better plan. And we can. In fact, when we evaluate our programs, we have an 83% success rate with, keeping people, well, I'm sorry, we have a 83% success rate with getting people into a more sustainable, better core
mm-hmm.
areas of functioning. So like that might be living expenses, housing, access to health care, well-being, you know, all of those things.
Right.
And
right.
then we also have for those people that we've worked with for longer than 9 months, so that are with us for a long, long period of time, we have a 92% success rate for keeping those people stable. So, you know, we've had some good feedback from what our programs are doing for people, that it's really moving them out of crisis quickly. So within those first 3 months, and then if there's somebody who might be vulnerable to crisis, keeping them out of crisis,
right.
keeping them stable. So,
is there a time limit on a person's?
No, there certainly
you know what I'm
isn't.
Like,
there certainly
know.
Isn't. And there are people, I mean, our goal is always, you know, I always say in my career, in this field, your goal is to make it so that your clients no longer need you,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we know that life happens. Things come up later and that people might come back
right.
and that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Case management.
Right.
Okay.
So that's really very much what I was just describing.
Right.
right? Yeah.
Pretty much,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, does a person have an individual case manager or is it a group of case managers that handle?
So we're a tiny staff and we have only recently added on a second case manager.
Okay.
You know, we do have interns that are training,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
that are working with
right.
me. But for the most part, I'm the case manager. I'm the director, but I'm also the case manager. But we now have another person who's going to be taking on some of those cases. We're a tiny team. So some of the times it'll be the first person that you're seeing who does the general information, resource, and referral. Now we're getting into some of the program descriptions,
right,
but
right.
information, resource, and referral. Somebody comes in, they don't know what they might be eligible for. They have a form, they don't know how to fill it out. You know, they're saying, I don't even, you know, I've lost my job. How do I even qualify for food stamps? So that's that very first line, that low-level guidepost person that would work with them. But if they were more in crisis, so somebody's at risk, there's mental health, there's substance abuse, there's homelessness, there's domestic violence, something where someone's at risk, they're automatically, referred to case management. But we work as a team. So that might be they're working with me, and then I say, all right, you need to come back and you need to fax something, or you're going to speak with Monica, you know, who works at our front desk. So it's very much because we're so small, we're very welcoming. And I think that, you know, people develop relationships with all of our staff pretty quickly because we're right there.
Small isn't that bad.
No, small isn't that bad. Really, it's bad when I don't.
Yeah, sometimes it's bad because you're overwhelmed with the amount of people you have to deal with. But a lot of times it's good, too, because people know, oh, well, Ronnie, I can go to, or, you know, Mary or whatever, you know.
Caitlin and Monica. Yeah. So the other thing that is really great, and actually I should, since we're talking about programs, I want to talk about how we're typically known. So people don't typically know when, the more people I talk to, the more I realize that people have a very limited understanding of what Fisherman's Mark is, even though we've been here for 36 years. Most people think of us as a food pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a food pantry, but we're more than a food pantry. Food pantry is one of seven of our programs. So we use that food pantry, though, as kind of that, like, the hook, Fisherman's Mark hook. We use a lot of those fisherman terminology.
There you go.
But it's kind of the hook. We get people in the door. We develop a relationship with them. We get to know them because they're coming there, you know, and they're meeting us, and they're seeing that we're not, you know, we're there. We are invested in them and their long-term interests. We want to help them meet that basic need of getting food on the table. But then we want to start talking to them about, is there more that we can do with you? You know, let's sit down and figure out if there's a better plan. The other thing that's unique about our food pantry is, you know, like I said, some people, a lot of different agencies do one thing at a time. We're comprehensive. So have our food pantry. Our food pantry is very much motivated to provide healthy food to individuals. We allow people to come in and do shopping without the payment, obviously. But they can choose their food based on their individual preferences, based on their cultural preferences. And then we have these healthy food options for them. So the food that we purchase, healthy food options. That's, you know, it's whole food. Even when people are doing food drives for us, we give them information asking them to try to do healthy food drives. We recognize that the people that are coming to us are very often the most at risk for those long-term health disparities. And so we are very committed to giving them access to quality food and also nutrition education along with it. That healthy food drive initiative, that's something that we've tried to carry outside of our walls, where we're working with other local food pantries and coalitions to broadcast that, to say, you know, when people are thinking, like, you know, at certain times of the year, food drives kick up, you know, November, December. Don't just do a food drive. It's not just about filling bellies. It's about nourishing bodies. So let's think about this. Let's see what we can do to get more vegetables, more fresh vegetables. We have year-round fresh produce through a relationship with ShopRite and Grow a Row. So we're really happy to have that, and we're lucky to have that in our community.
Grow a Row is about 5 minutes from where I live.
Yeah. It's an amazing program, and it really does, you know. And the nutrition education that we do is really, it's above and beyond what a food pantry is. But again, it's that they come in, we build the relationship with them, we try to guide them to other programs.
Right.
Yeah. Another wellness initiative that we have, that's, you know, all of our programs are that, you know, getting sustainable, you know, self-sufficient individuals. And then we also have wellness. So the food pantry has kind of an offshoot that's one of our community outreach programs, which is our farm stand. So it's Families, Farmers, and Fishermen's Mark. So it's the F3 farm stand that we have once a week throughout the summer. So it's obviously seasonal, but it's supported by local farmers and farmers market and Rolling Harvest, who they will donate fresh produce to us, locally grown. It's a lot of those ugly vegetables. That's something that a lot of people are talking about now. But it's those things that might have a little blemish on them, but they're perfectly good, that weren't picked the first go around.
Right.
They were selected afterwards, or they didn't make the cut when it came to the shelves. And that we're able to distribute to the community, anyone in the community, free of charge. And we have a wonderful program where we have local chefs that come in and do cooking demonstrations, and different groups do nutrition challenges. So it's a lot of fun.
Right,
And that's that starts June 15th. It's going to be every Wednesday throughout the summer, throughout the growing month. So it extends a little bit into December, into September, depending on how the weather is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Wednesdays from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And again, that's open to the public. You know, we want to promote wellness for everyone, and everyone learning about nutrition and the value of eating local, and very often organic. It's really lovely, lovely produce. So,
yeah, it's. I got a question though. That's like going
sideways
back a little
back.
Bit.
Okay, sorry.
No, not at all. I just, you know, I think it's awesome. You know, I really do, because. You know, farmers markets, you go see how many there are around, you know, and then the thing that, you know, you have one and it's, you know, free for once a week. I think it's awesome, you know. But my question was, you deal with people who have a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction. Do you find that a lot of them also in conjunction have a mental health issue?
Oh, sure. Yeah. People are not simple. They're not one topic things ever. And that's a part of, like, you know, our comprehensive programs are comprehensive because people have multiple, you know, multiple issues at the same time, multidimensional. It's rare. It's impossible. People don't come with one thing. Somebody doesn't come to the door needing food for their table and not have something else that's going on. But yeah, I think mental health is very pervasive. Much more so, you know, that there's a lot of people who are really struggling and not necessarily knowing how to access help. And so that's a big part of what we're doing when we're having the conversation, asking those questions and helping them to, we don't do counseling in, at Fisherman's Mark, but we certainly refer. And sometimes it can be, after a period of time of working with someone when they finally are trusting that maybe now is the time for me to look at this as one of the barriers to me making my life easier.
So, and you make referrals then to
To local psychiatrists, obviously to Huntington Behavioral Health. So there's a lot of that referring. There's also a lot of communication with psychiatrists or with counselors to see, is this person, you know, if they're in treatment, but they know that they're struggling because they need childcare and they need some employment training, then they come back to us and we help each other. And if they're reporting symptoms to me, breakout symptoms to me, I would be in communication with them. So,
would you explain? I can't even. I don't speak Spanish.
Los Puentes.
Yeah, okay.
So Los Puentes.
I was close.
Los Puentes means the bridges. So I talked about information resource and referral and case management as kind of our core social service programs. Los Puentes means the bridge. So that means providing case management or information resource and referral in Spanish to a Spanish-speaking population. But then it also is about bridging a population that may be cut off from other services, may not even be eligible for other services, with the other resources available in the community.
Okay.
So a lot of the times we're bringing other organizations from Flemington down to Lambertville to do presentations that might be health and nutrition. It might be immigration and understanding how not to be preyed upon by people who are exploiting individuals. You know, we really try to have the most current information about immigration, understanding labor laws and tenant laws. So, because people who are undocumented are very often exploited, and Lambertville and Flemington, this whole community has a fairly large Latino population, and so, you know, very often cut off from other services. But we, you know, work actively to try to connect them to services to help them to, you know, to be able to work, help them with literacy. We have a collaborative with Hunterdon Helpline. They do they train ESL tutors, and our volunteers are we're kind of a conduit.
I'm good friends with Susan Lax.
Yeah, of course you are. She's great. Yeah, we are too. So that's a another opportunity. That's another part of the puzzle to just talk about literacy. So that's Los Puentes. Yeah, and it's very it's a very active group.
Yeah, I would think so, because there is a very high Hispanic population in this county.
Right, right. In Lamberville itself, it's about 18% at this point.
I don't know what it is in Flemington, but I know it's a large population of Flemington.
And it's a relatively recent influx that I think the community is kind of catching up to, recognizing that this is another vulnerable population that we really need to be focusing on and supporting.
Right.
So, yeah, that's Los Puentes. Glad you asked about that, because again, it's our seven programs, and I'm not, you know, rather than rattling them off, you know, but Los Puentes is another one of those opportunities for us to help people, and it fits with the next program is that I want to talk about is the Lamberville Academy. So,
okay, just hang on to that for
okay,
a second.
Yeah,
we'll take a quick break and we'll be back. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a minute. Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged today to have with us Ronnie Todd Marino, who is the Social Services Director for Fisherman's Mark, which has recently moved from its previous location to, Firehouse, right?
Yes. Hibernia Firehouse.
I'm sorry?
Hibernia Firehouse.
That's a funny name for a firehouse. You know, when you say it like Hibern, you know, like, whoa.
Hibernia is Irish, so it's the Irish firehouse.
Oh, the Irish firehouse. All right, I go with the Irish firehouse. And that's at 37 South Main Street in Lambertville, New Jersey. If you need some of the services that we've been talking about or we're going to continue to talk about, that's where it's located at. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to, you started to mention the Lambertville Academy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Would you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So Lambertville Academy is our early childhood education program. So it's for ages 1.5 to 14. So it's before school and after school care. And it very much fits in the mission, that mission of meeting basic need. So child care is obviously an extremely large component of the living expenses in this area. It's a huge barrier for a lot of people.
Sure.
And so we have high quality, low cost, affordable child care. We're actually NAICE accredited, which is the gold standard for mm-hmm. early childhood education. But we also have a program. We work with the state voucher program. For low-income working individuals, they get subsidized tuition. And we reduce their tuition even further because, you know, this is individuals who, you know, may not be able to work if they had to stay home with their children. Or, you know, the cost of child care is so high that the benefits, you know, don't outweigh the cost, so they wouldn't work. Or even worse, the child would be left in situations that weren't safe or may not be academically enriching for them. So this, again, it's that curriculum-based. So it's, you know, it's that early education that's so critical to individuals for the, you know, those children for their lifetime learning. They're gaining some of those early skills and allowing their family members to work, you know, both family members to work. So that's really a wonderful thing. It's also a lot of the young kids that are the students that are using that reduced tuition. They speak Spanish in the home, so this is an opportunity for them to gain some English before they enter the public school. So it really is setting them up to start kindergarten with all the tools that they need to be successful.
And it goes
learners.
Up to 14?
Goes up to 14. So we also have before school and after school care, and the before school program we provide. Breakfast, which is also mm-hmm. really very important. And then that after school, the after school hours that, you know, we'd have teachers that are doing homework instruction, but we're also keeping kids, you know, in an activity during that time that when they, you know, they're prone to get in trouble after school sometimes.
You think?
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a really great program, very much connected to our mission. And that's, you know, sometimes when we're talking about this comprehensive program, we're saying, okay, well, you want to go back to school, go back to work. Well, first you're going to need to get this training. Well, in order to get that training, we need to figure out where your child's, you know, where your child will be during the day. And then let's do that. And, you know, while you're in this training, you're not earning what you were. So, therefore, you making use of our food pantry. So you kind of see how our services can fit together.
Do you help them, like, write resumes and like that?
Yeah. So I should talk about our volunteer program because our volunteer program is a separate program because it's so large. We have a lot of people. You know, we live in an area that is so rich with resources. Like, we've talked about the farm, but the people of our community are very you know, there's so many different talents and skills, and sometimes even hidden talents and skills that they bring to the table. So a lot of people come to us because they want to give back. They want to do something, like, directly to support their community. Some of our volunteers work in our food pantry. Our food pantry is entirely volunteer manned, mm-hmm. you know, staff supported, volunteer driven. And but we also have volunteers who might have, you know, human resources or career counseling backgrounds, and they will help people to do resume writing and interview skills and things like that. And we've had some great success with linking people to those kind of that kind of support. So, our volunteers are very much we couldn't do it without them. Our volunteer program also includes our relationship with the court system, so individuals who are working off community service hours for certain infractions can come to us. And then we also have a really great relationship with Hunterdon ARC. So the young people that are in their programs can come to us with a vocational coach. And so they're developing skills. They're excited about giving back to a program like ours. And we're obviously excited to have them and to get their help. You know, we really couldn't do it. I mentioned before, we're a tiny team. We couldn't do all that we do without the great volunteers that we have. And people give back in varied ways. You know, that there's that farm stand. There's people who come in and they help us sort through vegetables, because when we get things donated to us, sometimes they're past their prime. So there's people who come just do that. There's certainly a lot of people who have helped us significantly during our move in terms of, like, you know, doing some construction for us and things like that. And then we've got our administrative volunteers that will come in and just help us with data entry or different projects, like getting out newsletters and things like that. So our volunteer program is very vibrant. And like I said, we have a lot of great people who are really very passionate about helping their neighbors.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
It is. It is. Yeah.
And we spoke about the farm stand.
Well, yes. And it is one of our community outreach programs. That's also another one that volunteers are a part of. And obviously all the chefs that come in and the people that come to do the demonstrations, they're volunteering their time and talents to make it a really exciting program. We do have other community outreach programs. We have quite a few, actually. Like, the umbrella keeps getting bigger, I think. All of them very much kind of have different core ideas. One is the idea that, you know, there are certain times that are very difficult for on families, hard on families, because it's hard to make ends meet. Things like, you know, at the holiday times, how expensive the holidays can be, and how the strain of figuring out how you're going to pay for it reduces the joy and the time, you know, that the family should be able to spend with each other. So we have a holiday food distribution program in November and December, and then we also have holiday gifts for children and for grandchildren. We were able to open it up so that our clients, this is for our client base. This isn't just somebody unfortunately can't just come to us in November and say, I need food. It's somebody who's been accessing our support over the year, then they would be eligible for this. We also have backpacks. So we have backpacks that we distribute at back to school time with all the school supplies, because that's another thing that can be expensive.
Yep.
And so, you know, we know that people need the tools. They need certain things. And so that's one thing. It's helping families make ends meet and reduce family stress. And then the other part is about promoting wellness. Our farm stand, which I described, obviously. Another program that we recently added is called Food for Thought. And that's a mobile food pantry concept that kind of came out of the idea of, like, we were talking about who are the people that might need our help that aren't coming to us for whatever reason. And we had this aha moment that said, well, if they're not coming to us, why don't we go to them? And so we now go once a month into two different apartments, senior apartments that are in Lambertville. There are the low-income apartments. We go there, we bring groceries, but then we also do health and wellness discussions. And we have a great collaborative with the Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson Medical School. So we get med students that are coming to us and doing a rotation to learn about community medicine. And so we have them do lectures on various topics. And it can be anything from over-the-counter medications or falls prevention. We had one that was sexual health in the elderly. That was a really fun discussion. People got silly, but they really, you know, they learned a lot. So it's covers all of those topics, and that's been a great success because we were able to link to a lot of individuals who did need our help and didn't necessarily know that we were there as a resource to them. And so that's been another great program.
What always drives me insane is I hear, oh, we don't have homeless in this area. This is one of the richest counties in the country. Really?
Yeah.
You don't have homeless, huh? And I'll ask him, are you familiar with Flemington? Do you know where the new Walmart is in Flemington? Mm-hmm. Why don't you walk behind it sometime and just go over the top of the railroad track? You see those tents that are there?
Right.
Who do you think is living in there?
Right.
They're homeless.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you know, don't give me that this is because it's a rich county.
Yeah.
You know, I often say to my wife, what are we doing here? You know, but,
right.
But you know, it's like,
yeah,
we don't have
hard.
This because it's yeah. we're so rich. We don't have people with mental illness because it's rich. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, white, right. black, green, pink, you know,
right.
it has, you
see,
know,
it knows no limits,
it
right.
knows no limits right. and it goes all over the world.
Right.
It's, you know,
right.
I just shake my head because, you know, and I, you know, my wife gets mad at me because I go, are people really this stupid?
I find that I'm constantly educating people. That's a nice way of saying it.
There you go.
Like I'm constantly trying educating people because people will ask me, why does Lambertville need a food pantry? And I do ask them, do you look when you're driving down the street? Yes, there are these beautiful homes, but there's also people.
Right.
Lambertville is relatively new in terms of the turnover, where the influx of affluence. It historically was a very poor river
poor,
town.
Right.
And so there are individuals who are from families that have been there for generations that, you know, are lower earners. But then there's also people that are, you know, there's everywhere. There are people who are in
sure.
need. And I think
sure.
that it's significantly higher than people assume. So we have to remind people. Hunterdon County is one of the highest income in the nation, but it's also one of the lowers in terms of volunteerism.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like it's the creating a community of giving back and recognizing
right.
that we're that a part of what makes us so wonderful is our diversity and our acceptance of everyone. So let's build
yeah.
upon that.
And a person could have had a very wonderful job
mm-hmm.
and lost it and, you know, went downhill and used their savings to try to support themselves and their kids or whatever.
Right.
And now they're broke and,
right.
you know, getting evicted from, you know, their housing or whatever, or they're foreclosed on their housing. And, I mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad people or
right.
they failed in some way. I
right.
mean, you know, it's just.
So we are all vulnerable.
Of course.
Every single one of us is
Absolutely.
Vulnerable. And that's a
Absolutely.
Big part of the Fisherman's Mark culture that we promote with our staff and with our volunteers, that you're treating with people with dignity because that could be you
exactly.
very, very easily.
Exactly.
It's just by luck that
yeah.
it's not.
Yeah.
So,
by the grace of God, walk
exactly.
I. You know what I mean? You know.
yeah.
But it's
yeah.
true. It's, you know, it's – now, I understand you got to – We got a couple minutes left.
Okay.
But I understand you got a fundraiser coming up.
We do have a fundraiser coming
and
up.
And I'd like you
yeah.
to explain it.
All right. All right. So this Saturday, May 21st, we have our big annual fundraiser. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be housed at we're holding it at the Eagle Firehouse, which is over in New Hope, Pennsylvania. It's
okay.
a great banquet hall type
mm-hmm.
type setting there. This year we have restaurants that have donated different food items, you know, for us, including like Cafe Galleria and Hamilton Grill and Anton's at the Swan. So some of the best restaurants in the area are donating food. And then we also have live music. So we've got some really great local talent, Chris Harford, the Working Class Hussies, and the Shackers, which is kind of the backbone of music in Lambertville. So we're really excited to have them. We also have a silent auction, which is a lot of fun. And again, we talked about abundance. Man, what we have in our area, particularly in Lambertville, New Hope area, are such wonderful artists and bed and breakfast
sure.
and wineries. So we've got like wine tastings for eight. That's one of the items, or like a spa for like, you know, world renowned stylist. So it's really going to be a lot of fun. And it's meant to be a kid-friendly and an adult-friendly environment. Tickets are only $50 a person. So when you're talking about getting food, live music, and open bar, you can't do better in this area. But then we also have kid-friendly activities. So the kids will have a good time, but so will the adults. You know, it's not heavy on either side. You know,
okay.
it's really – and kids
right.
are free. Did I say kids are free? I meant to say kids
yeah,
are free.
There you go.
We love the kids. So, yeah, it's going to be a good time. Again, that's this Saturday – from 6:30 to 9:30 and at the Eagle Firehouse in New Hope.
Do you have to register before?
You can buy tickets ahead of time through our website, or you can always buy tickets at the door.
Okay.
You know, the buying tickets beforehand just gives us an indication. But we're planning for a big party, so come on down, and it'll be a good time. We're going to have a photo booth. That was one of the biggest hits last year. Oh, and Triumph's Brewery is going to be doing a beer tasting as well. I should mention that there's a lot of great organizations that have been a part of sponsoring this event so that we were able to do it. Hunterdon Healthcare is one, Fox and Roche Realtors, Strategic Rewards, Finkel's, which is a great hardware mm-hmm. store in Lambertville,
right.
Lambertville Station, Amano, and Stone King Physical Therapy. So, again, these are great businesses that are very community-minded and are helping us to put on a really great party. So we're excited for that.
That's great.
Yeah.
And it's this Saturday?
It's this Saturday.
It starts when?
6:30 till 9:30.
Till 9:30.
Yeah.
And $50 a person.
$50 a person.
And that's drinks and food.
It's restaurants, top food from top restaurants, beer tastings, music, silent auction, kid activities, photo booth, great times. And there's a 50-50 raffle. I should mention
that
too. So it was a lot of last year was the first time we tried this type of thing, and it was a great success, and we think that this one's going to be even
better.
Well,
I truly hope you have a great success on this one.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really do. It's in the last 3 or 4 minutes, is there anything you'd like to cover?
I didn't talk about our move.
We alluded to it.
So a lot has changed since I was last here last year. We were at a location at 89 North Main Street for about 35 years. When the new director, Linda Meacham, and I came on, we recognized that there were some budget shortfalls that we had to compensate for. There was some debt that we really needed to address in order to build a future. And so one of the things that we did was we sold the real estate that the organization owned so that we could pay off that debt. And then we created a new business model. You know, social services, mm-hmm. you can run it like a nonprofit where you're just focusing on the services and the money will come later, or you can run it like a business, which is what is required these days in the culture of, mm-hmm. of funding these days for social services. So we have a sustainable business model, and a part of that is you don't sit on real estate. And so we're renting now. And we're renting from a wonderful nonprofit group, which is the Hibernia Fire Department. In Lambertville, they consolidated all of the fire departments. And when when this happened, Hibernia wanted to maintain itself as a separate entity, and they wanted to continue to give back to the community in ways beyond firefighting.
Right.
And so this has been a wonderful partnership. It's really we've been, you know, in talks with them for about a year. We finally made this move in February. Right now, our admin offices are in the firehouse. Our food pantry remains where it was. So it's in a space that's behind 85 North Main. It will be moving over in the summertime, and we're looking forward to it.
Now, does the fire company still use that as a firehouse?
So we have some shared space there. We have the entire first floor, which is where our social service office is, and the food pantry will be. On the second floor, we have our admin offices. And then they still have a club room because they still meet as a club.
Okay.
And then they have a gym on the third floor. The whole fire department uses that gym. So we get to see the firefighters in and out all the time. And again, they're very, very passionate about supporting the community. They are constantly expressing appreciation for what we do, which is obviously something that's very it's uplifting to us, you know, to have this team of people that are so so excited to be a part of our mission.
Exactly.
It really has been a shot in the arm for us, and this move has been really a part of a better model, and we're really excited about it. So we're now at 37 South Main Street. The food pantry remains where it was, but it should be moving shortly. And you can always see what's going on at the Mark on our website, which is www.fishermansmark.org. All one word, no apostrophe.
And if somebody wanted to reach out, is there a phone number you can give them?
The phone number is 609-397-0194. And our admin offices are open from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Our food pantry has varied hours. We have Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's open in the mornings from 10 to 12. And then on Tuesday and Thursday, we have evening hours, so it's 3 to 5. But the first thing you would do if you were a new client would be to go to our administrative offices at the 37 South Main Street, and we would have you complete that intake and get your card. And people can use our food pantry 4 times a month, so it can really be helpful in terms of
like once a week almost, basically.
Exactly. So it makes helps make room in the budget so that they can start thinking about thinking out of crisis mode.
Right.
So yeah.
Why don't you give the email address and the phone number one more time?
Okay. So the website is www.fishermansmark.org. The email address is info@fishermansmark.org. And the phone number is 609-397-0194.
Well, Ronnie, I can't tell you how happy I am that you could make it again. And you will be back on again, I promise you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Once we can work our schedules together again, because I know you're busy. But really, it would be very nice to have you back again and see how you're progressing along.
Yeah,
and you know,
we like to report our successes.
Sure,
this move is
absolutely
a huge success for us. So it's great.
Don't forget this Saturday,
6:30 to 9:30 at the Eagle Fire Station in New Hope, Pennsylvania.
And,
the event is called "Get Hooked on Fisherman's Mark." I never said that.
So Get Hooked on Fisherman's Mark. There you go.
Yep.
And you get. For $50 a person, you get food, you get drink, you get music, you get games for the kids, you know, and you get beer tasting and the whole nine yards. So excellent food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't get that anywhere else. So if you're, you know, I would suggest
going. Come on down.
Yeah, come on down. And you've been listening to Mental Health Matters, folks, and we'll be back again next week, same time, same station. And remember, mental health really does matter. See you next week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
USA Radio News. Business with Audrey Strong.
The chairman of the RNC doubts that likely Republican nominee Donald Trump's personal life will matter much to voters. National correspondent Joe Gomez reports.
Whether it's Donald Trump's tax returns or reports of disrespecting women, the head of the Republican National Committee says people just don't care.
When people are hypocrites, obviously that's when these stories have an impact. But I don't think Donald Trump and his personal life is something that people are looking at and saying, well, I'm surprised that he's had girlfriends in the past.
I'm Joe Gomez.
The U.S. Supreme Court is sidestepping a major ruling on a hotly contested part of the Affordable Care Act. The High Court is not ruling on a challenge by Christian nonprofit employers to the law's contraception mandate. The law says female workers shall have health insurance that includes birth control coverage. This is USA Radio News.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood